Today I'm going to talk to you about suffering. Every one of us have to suffer something in life. In fact, the older we get, it seems the more we suffer. There are difficulties that plague us in every aspect of life. And money doesn't stop it. Wealth doesn't stop it. Honors don't stop it. I don't care who you are. We all have to suffer. Just look at the medicine cabinet in an average home. It's filled with pills to relieve suffering and pain. But there is a value in suffering. There is a true value in the cross. In fact, the older we get, the more we suffer, the more powerful we become. We have power in the cross. Now, granted, God doesn't want us to suffer, but suffering is our lot because we're sinners. Sin entered in the world and kind of messed everything up. So all of us are going to be affected in some way adversely, no matter what it is. But you see, there is power. Now, how can that be? Well, first of all, I'm not talking about looking back and seeing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he suffered and died on the cross and somehow taking comfort in that. That can teach us, most certainly. We look at how Jesus suffered. We looked at how, while he was being nailed to the cross, he actually was forgiving the people who were doing it. All right, we know that through his example. But there's got to be something more. There's got to be a way that I can enter into the very suffering of Christ that gives and enables my suffering to have that power, that redemptive power. Now, you see, Christ won all of the graces of the redemption when he suffered, died, and rose from the dead. They were all finalized. That was it. All of the graces needed for all the people throughout time until eternity were won by Christ. But you see, he gives us the ability, the power, to enter into his passion and death by way of our own sufferings, by way of sanctifying grace, so that our sufferings therefore become redemptive. In other words, I, through my sufferings, united to the cross of Christ, have a certain power, a power to heal, a power to save, a power to convert. Now, how is this? Well, we have to kind of look at salvation rather than an historical event. We must see it as an ongoing living event. Christ, it says, died and rose from the dead. But all throughout his life, whenever we referred to it, he never presented the resurrection as a happy ending. It was always, and he will rise from the dead. Not but. He didn't present the resurrection as the end of all things, that we would all of a sudden now have power and friendship and wealth, and all you have to do is believe in me and all things will go well, and your coffers will be filled with money and you'll be healthy and God will cure you. That's not the message of the gospel. No, granted, sometimes Christians present faith as the cure-all, but in reality, it is the essence of peace that we receive and the power of the divinity. What happens is this. See Christ's passion and death as God the Father sees it, as an infinite act, as an act that always happens. For remember, the one who suffered and died for us is the I Am. Jesus referred that title to himself over and over again, I am. That means that there is no yesterday and tomorrow for Christ. There is no yesterday and tomorrow for the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. It is an aspect, it is an element, it is a reality that never stops. Until the last person is saved, Christ will be suffering, he will be dying, and he will be rising from the dead. Every Mass that we participate in is a participation, not in a reenactment. We are not at the Last Supper. We're not reliving what Jesus did by looking past in the past 2,000 years. What we are doing is entering into the I Am of Christ, the infinite and eternal now of Jesus. That means that he lives and suffers and dies, and we are uniting our sufferings with his sufferings as they are happening. St. Paul said something extraordinarily important. He said, I make up in my body the sufferings lacking in that of Christ. There was nothing lacking in that of Christ. His sufferings were perfect. They were complete. They were total. They didn't have to have anything added to them, and nothing could be subtracted from them. This is God who suffered. Unless God opens for me a portal, a means of touching his passion as it is happening, of entering into his sufferings and uniting simultaneously with his passion and death, my passion, my sufferings, my crosses, my difficulties, my weaknesses, my fears, my sense of abandonment. That's what gives suffering hope. That's what gives the dying great strength and power. That is what our faith gives to us. Not the ability to look back only as a historical figure, but actually enter into the life of Christ, to become part of his life, his passion, his death and resurrection. You and I participate in the passion of Christ. The Mass is the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are transported to Calvary. From there, we look into the eyes of the dying Christ. And there, 2,000 years ago, now, in his great I Am, he sees me. He accepts my offering of the sufferings that I must endure. And he embraces them as his own, uniting my cross to his. And therefore, making total sense of what Paul so eloquently teaches, that we truly are one and have been made one in the very sacrifice of Christ. That sacrifice that took place once and for all, but that is still happening. It is still taking place. And you and I have this great ability to unite our sufferings with his, and thereby drawing those graces that he won for us and applying them to those around us in this day and age. This is the power of the cross. This is why suffering makes sense. This is why we don't have to despair. We understand the great gift that each and every one of us have been forgiven, that each and every one of us in that forgiveness, in that grace that we received through the beauty and the miracle of baptism, we are united to the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. You and I have great power. Use it. Embrace the cross. Some things we just can't get out of. No pills are enough to save us from some things that we must suffer. And even if our sufferings are brought upon ourselves by ourselves, they are still worthy sacrifices to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the one who redeems us, enables us in our littleness, in our humility, to embrace his cross and thereby bring to fruition in this day and age the passion and death that continuously is suffered for our salvation. You and I have been given such a great gift through faith. This is the reality of our faith. This is the truth of our faith. For this reason, let us embrace the cross. Let us embrace the difficulties that befall us in our everyday life. Let us live the life that Christ lived. His Father didn't spare him from the cross, even though he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. It wasn't possible. And it may not be in my life or in your life. But we have been given so magnificent a gift to make our cross count, to make our sufferings of infinite value, just simply by uniting them to him.